the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. It is time to wake up on this last Friday of Lent, Friday, March 31st. We're so happy you're tuning your heart to the truth. On Wake Up, I'm Alicia Quibido with Dina Dow. And Damien's back in town.
Yay.
Damien's back. It's great to have everybody around the table today, especially having our guest Dina Dow to co-host with us. Dina, you want to start us off?
I do. I would love to. Yeah, this is the opening collect option for Friday, the fifth week of Lent, which, like you just said, is 1 week until Good Friday. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who in this season give your church the grace to imitate devoutly the Blessed Virgin Mary in contemplating the Passion of Christ, grant, we pray, through her intercession, that we may cling more firmly each day to your only begotten Son and come at last to the fullness of his grace, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Saint Stephen,
yeah, of Marsaba. Yeah, he's an 8th century saint. So we'll hear about him later on because he's got a beautiful story and a witness for us of devotion and monastic prayer. Yeah, he's awesome.
Saint Stephen of Marsaba, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Yes. All right, well, we have a wonderful show for you this morning. Damien's going to visit with Lisa Flood. She will tell us about Our Lady of the Lake. Youth ministry is having an upcoming passion play at Our Lady of the Lake Church, and that will be an awesome event. So Damien will find out more about that. Our good friend Gary Zimak is back. Gary is a Catholic author and speaker and founder of Following the Truth. He joins us to talk about Lenten burnout. Are you burnout already? and for preparing ourselves for Holy Week. Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, will join us. We're going to talk about some Good Friday traditions with Jeff. And then our friend Terry Dixon from the Diocese of Biloxi will join us. He's the Director of Communications with the Diocese, and he is the editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper. Always fun learning what's going on in the Diocese.
Yeah. Terry's always got some stories to share, especially along the Gulf Coast and what's going on in their diocese. As far as weather, cloudy and warm. That's what's in the forecast. High 85, low 71. That's what's expected for today. Only a 10% chance of rain. It should be breezy, though. Winds are going to be 15, maybe even up to 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So be careful out there. Tomorrow, you should see more sunshine versus today. 20% chance of rain, while Sunday is when the chance of rain increases to 40%. Doesn't mean everybody's going to get wet. Temperatures will remain in the 80s for the highs, and the low is going to be up and around the 70-degree mark. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Home at Thibodeau, 71 degrees. In New Orleans, it's 70. And in Biloxi, as well as the North Shore and Baton Rouge, all reporting 69 degrees.
Okay.
So there you go.
It's kind of, you know, we
ready
had a little
for the
bit
weekend.
Last time Dina was here, we were saying pull out the turtlenecks for the last time.
2 days ago, we had turtlenecks.
Flip flops back out.
Changes quickly, doesn't it?
Got to be on your toes.
I think that was the last cool snap. I think we're in for it now.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's like this is great.
Now you can, well, after Good Friday, right? You can plant your garden, your
right?
Vegetable garden, because that should be the last. It's my husband goes. That's his rules for living by. So
that's the rule. That's what they say, so no use taking chances.
That's right. That's right.
It makes me wait another week. Hey, you know.
Right?
Well, don't go too far. We have an interview coming up with Miss Lisa Flood to tell us what's going on at the youth ministry over there at Our Lady of the Lake Church. You're listening to Wake Up. It's 5 after.
Thank you. Good Friday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker. Today's gospel is taken from John chapter 10. The Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "We are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you were gods'? If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because I said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true." And many there began to believe in him.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker, for that scripture passage in today's gospel. And we are now speaking with Lisa Flood, who is here to share with us what's going on as far as the youth, Young Life Youth Ministry. I'll get that out. And their upcoming Passion Play, which is taking place at Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church in Mandeville. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. So good to hear all your voices, and thank you so much for having me. We're really excited about what the teens are doing at Our Lady of the Lake with our Passion Play this weekend.
Well, I love to see the youth getting involved in any type of church activity, and so share with us what's going to be taking place and what inspired them to do the Passion Play.
Well, we are so blessed, first of all, to have Denny Charbonnet, who has taught theater for 40 years, taught at St. Paul's, and directed the Passion Play at St. Paul's for 20 years. She's retired, and she's got some grandchildren in our Young Life youth community at Our Lady of the Lake. So we approached her, and she loved the idea. So what we're doing is this Sunday, we have, I think, 18 teens who are going to be in the play. And we are going to present the Passion of Our Lord from the Gospel of John. Apparently, this play was first begun, this one we're doing, at Franciscan University, and it's continued for all these years. So, full disclosure, this is the night after prom for our juniors and seniors.
Wow.
Yes, big laugh there. This is a big deal. The funniest thing, Denny and I cannot stop laughing over this, our first rehearsal, we were without Jesus and Pilate because they were in Vegas for a soccer tournament.
Funny.
This is the world we are living in. For these teens to really, they're all athletes. Not one of them is an actor or an actress. They've never been on stage before. But we challenged them. We said, let this be your sacrifice for Lent, to give up your Sundays, the only day they usually have off, to come and really pray with this gospel. This is not a performance, it's a prayer. And they said yes, and it's been really beautiful to see God moving in their hearts and in their prayer. And we've had really challenging moments with their schedules, which are crazy, but they really want to do it, and we are so excited. It's going to be our fundraiser. It's free, open to the public, but we're going to ask for a love offering, and this is our fundraiser for our Young Life community. Every other Sunday, we are so blessed to have the support of our pastor, Father Doug Bush. Every other Sunday, we have almost 100 teens who show up for a night of prayer, reflection, and adoration, and, of course, pizza. It's pretty incredible.
Well, that is fantastic. I mean, that sounds like a great youth group, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Was it hard finding the so-called actors to get them and then do the rehearsals? And how many rehearsals did you actually have?
We have had, I think, three rehearsals on Sundays. And as far as the actors go, so many of these kids, the vast majority of them were leaders, even in in our confirmation program last year, or they were confirmed last year, or they are leaders of our Young Life youth group. We have both.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have kids who are new to the community. Our youngest is an eighth grader who said, "I want to come and do this." And but the vast majority of them are juniors and seniors who have been deeply touched through this community and really wanted the passion to make a difference during Holy Week. So we invited them, and they said yes, and we are really excited. We're so grateful to you for helping us promote this event. Like I said, for teenagers who are crazy busy to gather to do this, it's a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal, and I love the fact that it's young teenagers putting on the play. That is awesome. Give us all the details, Lisa, before we run out of time.
Okay. We will be at Our Lady of the Lake at the Showtan Center, which is our gym, which will become a stage, this Sunday on Palm Sunday. We will the play will be performed at 5:30. It's a 30-minute performance. It's very short. We have musicians. We have musicians who were in the play who are coming back as adults to provide the music. It's a 30-minute performance in the Showtan Center, which is right next to the church, 312 Lafitte Street, Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church. Please join us. We would love to have you.
And Denny Charbonnet is the director, correct?
She is. We couldn't have done it without her.
Oh, well, congratulations to her as well, and to all of y'all, because I just think when the youth get more involved, it just means so much for laying the foundation, not only to their spiritual life, but it inspires us older folks.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It impacts the whole family.
Yeah, it really does. Sure. It does impact the whole family. Mm-hmm. One more time, details, time and place, and congratulations again on what looks to be a successful event.
Thank you. Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church in Mandeville, 312 Lafitte Street, this Sunday, Palm Sunday, at 5:30, 30-minute performance of the Passion Play. It's a beautiful way for families to enter into Holy Week. Please join us.
Yes, admission is free, but they will take a donation.
Yes.
All right. Lisa Flood, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to talking to you in the near future.
Thank you so much.
Okay, best of luck. If I had time, and if I was in that neck of the woods, I'd like to go.
I know. Isn't that great?
We're actually going to be leaving New Orleans around that time. I think we might have to make a detour.
That's a good idea.
That's great. I love this. Yes. Beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It gets you in the mood. So, all right, folks, 15 after already. It is Friday, and the end of the quarter, end of the month. It's just hard to believe.
It's crazy.
A lot.
But stick around, because this day is not over yet on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 31st. Today we celebrate Saint Stephen of Marsaba. A Do Not Disturb sign helped today's saint find holiness and peace. Stephen of Marsaba was the nephew of St. John Damascene, who introduced the young boy to monastic life beginning at age 10. When he reached 24, Stephen served the community in a variety of ways, including guest master. After some time, he asked permission to live a hermit's life. The answer from the abbot was yes and no. Stephen could follow his preferred lifestyle during the week, but on the weekends, he was to offer his skills as a counselor. Stephen placed a note on the door of his cell. "Forgive me, fathers, in the name of the Lord, but please do not disturb me except on Saturdays and Sundays." Despite his calling to prayer and quiet, Stephen displayed uncanny skills with people and was a valued spiritual guide. His biographer and disciple wrote about Stephen, "Whatever help, spiritual or material, he was asked to give, he gave. He received and honored all with the same kindness. He possessed nothing and lacked nothing. In total poverty, he possessed all things." Stephen died in 794. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
We are back on Wake Up. It is 18 after right now, and I am so excited to have our next guest, Gary Zimek, Catholic author and speaker and founder of Following the Truth, joins us to talk about one of the most interesting topics, Lenten burnout and getting ready for Holy Week. So, Gary, welcome to Wake Up this morning. How are you today?
I am well, Dean. It's so great to talk with you this morning. Yeah, burnout's a real problem at this time in Lent.
Yeah, it is such a struggle, you know, and before we get to Holy Week, because that's always kind of like the glory in the story, right? We feel like we're just not ready, or Lent's been just kind of like blah, like we need some more time for Lent, right? So talk to us a little bit about your insights and inspirations on what Lent and burnout is at this time, especially this fifth week of Lent where we're about to enter into Holy Week.
You know, the reason that I wanted to talk about this today is because I'm experiencing it. I've been experiencing this. I've been traveling a lot during Lent and speaking all over the country. I'm finally back home now, but a couple of days ago I was in Minnesota leading a parish mission, and I was talking about this Lenten burnout, and the pastor of the parish said to me, Gary, I'm so glad you said that. You're saying the things that everybody's thinking right now, because a lot of us are burned out. And I think I think it's important for us to remember that, you know, Lent does go on for a long time. Sometimes we have our plans going into Lent. This is what I'm going to work on. This is what I'm going to give up. But I believe that oftentimes the Holy Spirit may be taking us in a different direction. And I think this is a good time for us to just recognize that and realize that, well, maybe what I wanted to give up is not the best thing for me, and maybe the Lord's taking me in another direction, you know. And sometimes that burnout comes along with that. And I would just say that the burnout can be caused by failure to live up to what we promised we would do.
Yeah.
So it's not too late. As you said, we're heading into Holy Week, the holiest week of the year. This is the time for us to really just focus and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and to help identify what we need to work on in the remainder of Lent, and realize that this is not all about us doing it. The Holy Spirit is supposed to help us through the Lenten.
Yeah, we do. We start out with our list, all of our resources, and, you know, we're really excited. And I think the expectations come with sometimes, like, I know this is what I need to be doing, but also to tempering that with what's God's will for me during this time and this season. And sometimes we're surprised, like, oh, wait, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be, reading the Bible every day, but I'm actually not. I'm listening to some other podcast, which is, you know, faith-oriented. But tell us a little bit about facing those frustrations, and then how can we attune ourselves to the Holy Spirit and God's call to us during this time, especially what I would call the final push.
I think the most important thing for us to remember, and this is something I struggle with, it Lent is not necessarily about succeeding in what we had planned to give up. Lent is about our will. I think the Lord wants our will. He wants us to try to get better. And I believe, and I don't like this, but it happens to me a lot, I think he lets us fail sometimes because he wants us to realize how much we need him.
Yeah.
You know, my big thing, I've been speaking about give up worry for Lent for years now. I'm still getting really great crowds. People are coming out. Everybody's on board trying to do it. But so many people write to me or tell me, oh, I tried to stop worrying. I failed. And I always say, that's okay. Today's a new day. It's your will that really matters. And that's, you know, honestly, Dean, I believe if we go into this Holy Week coming up, the end of Lent, with the desire to really grow close to the Lord and tell him that, Lord, I want to grow close to you. Please help me to make the best of the remaining days of Lent. I cannot believe that he would not answer that prayer.
No,
I know he will.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. So thinking about focus, like, what should our focus be at this time of the season? Where should we focus on? Or who should we focus on?
that's exactly it. I think we should focus on Jesus and looking at what he did for us and how much he loves us. And I think when we look at it that way, when we start focusing on him, on how he suffered, not just on Calvary, but throughout his life. He was humiliated. He was rejected, all because of me. The more I think about that and meditate upon that and really get involved with whatever the church offers, you know, to really take advantage of any events or any devotions that the church offers, if I do that and keep the focus on Jesus, naturally what's going to happen is I'm going to have this desire to improve, to somehow to repay him, to try to repay him, to try to change my life. But I think you really hit it right there. The key is to focusing on the Lord. Just focus on what he did. And there's going to be plenty of opportunities to do that within the next few days.
Oh, yeah, especially, you know, partaking in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And then talk about drawing upon the graces that the Lord gives to us through the sacraments during this time to kind of strengthen and fortify us for not only Holy Week, but beyond Holy Week into the Easter season.
I'm so glad you mentioned the sacraments. And I always tell people that the best way to get to know Jesus, the best way to get to know him and to become like him is to receive the sacraments as often as you can. Yeah. And just quickly, you mentioned reconciliation. Just wanted to tell a quick story. I was in Illinois a few weeks ago leading a parish mission, and the priest from the pastor contacted me when I was at my next location. He said, I just want to let you know your mission really is bearing good fruit. And he told me the story of one woman who has come back to confession after a long time. And I said, Father, that's fantastic. Yeah. How many years has it been? He said, 65 years.
Oh, wow. Gary. Wow.
You know, so when I hear stories like that, I urge anybody listening, if it's been a long time, please go back to confession. Encounter Jesus in the sacrament, and you're going to have such peace.
Yes.
And it's, you know, I hear stories like this all the time, but I never heard one that long.
Yeah, that is, that's the conversion. That's the invitation to conversion. And every little thing that we can do to lead others to Christ, especially you, Gary, and your missions and the talks that you give, you know, really lead all souls to the Lord Jesus, especially through the sacraments, which is that most tangible way that we receive our Lord in this earthly life. So we're about to embark on Holy Week. I mean, Palm Sunday's this weekend. This is the best time of year. I call it the most wonderful time of year. How do we prepare for Holy Week? How do we get ourselves prepared for that? And then have an openness to, you know, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, you know, and Easter, Holy Saturday. So the whole Triduum. So talk to us a little bit about how to prepare for that.
I think Palm Sunday starts it out nicely with us really entering into our Lord's Passion. When we hear that gospel read, I think that's the best way to really frame things and get started preparing. And then, as you said, throughout the week, especially Holy Thursday, leading in all the way up till Easter Sunday, to participate, to go to church and participate in the services, because you're going to really enter into the Lord's Passion at that point. And, you know, that's, I think, the best way to do it, to get involved and to, you know, really to participate in what the church offers and really walk with the Lord, walk with him to Calvary. And as I tell people all the time, it sounds like sort of a contradiction, but if we're looking to find peace in life, we're not going to find that peace by fighting against the crosses that the Lord allows us to experience. We're going to find peace by following him. Where is he going? He's headed to Calvary, but it doesn't end there. Yeah. We are headed ultimately toward that resurrection on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, that's the key.
Yeah, that's the glory in our story, right, of salvation,
you
know, is the beauty of, and the opportunity that suffering is real. And you talk a lot about that, Gary, in your talks and in your books, too. Suffering is real, but suffering is not impossible to endure, you know, because the Lord is always with us, even though at times we may feel abandoned or alone or nobody understands. Christ Jesus has been with us the whole time. I mean, just look at the journey to Calvary, you know, and experiencing that too. So preparing our hearts to receive that too. And then beyond, though, you talked a little bit about this, but beyond the suffering is the resurrection. So how do we take all of this into the Easter season and conform our lives to the will of God and continue that mission of striving to do his holy will?
I think it just really comes down to remembering that to really setting our focus, not necessarily on Calvary, that's an important part of it, but to what lies beyond. So if we keep our focus on Easter Sunday, this is it, the resurrection of the Lord, we're going to follow him, but in order to get there, we've got to go through that passion with him. But the resurrection gives us hope. Easter is all about hope. It's hope not just for a final resurrection one day, a resurrection after we die, but Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. Therefore, he's with us. Therefore, everything he said in the Bible is true, that he will help us. He will give us the grace we need. So that resurrection hope can really be applied to our day-to-day journey, even if it involves suffering. Yeah. You know, he gives us that peace.
Amen. Oh my gosh, that is so true and so real, that gift of hope. So Gary, in the final minutes that we have, where can we go to read more about this and other topics, as well as discover all the plethora of books that you have written and your mission as a speaker? Where can we go find more information on that?
The best place is my website, which is followingthetruth.com.
Great, great. Thank you so much. And you know what? We wish you just the joyous and happy Holy Week and a beautiful Easter season with you and your family. And thank you so much for all that you do in your mission and evangelizing and bringing people closer to our Lord Jesus. We're just so grateful that you're with us too today and each month. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And happy Easter to you and everyone at the station. And thanks for all that you do. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you so much, Gary. Gosh, it gets me all ready. Like, I'm ready.
I know.
I think I'm ready now to be able to go into this.
So burnout is over?
That's right.
I've never said burnout's not quite over, but I mean, at least there's a little bit more fortification, you know, going in that too. So, all right, coming back, what are we going to be talking about?
Oh, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie.
Alicia's favorite time of the week is Jeff Foodie. So it's 30 after right now. We'll be back on Wake Up.
Good morning. It is 35 minutes after the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio. I'm Alicia Quito with Dina Dow and Damian Collado. Dina, Damian, and Alicia. We're glad you're here.
Two D's, so it's Dad.
There you go. Today is the last Friday of Lent, the fifth Friday in Lent. We hope your Lenten journey has been a blessed one, but it's not too late to get on track if the days have gone by for you. We are joined by a friend who's going to give us some little Lenten tips. So Jeff Young is the founder and producer of the Catholic Foodie podcast and blog. He is the Catholic Foodie. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, y'all.
It's so great to have you with us this morning, Jeff. And, you know, we were interviewing someone with the Archdiocese earlier this week, and they were talking about, it was actually Peter Finney, was talking about an article in the Clarion Herald about Friday and the tradition in New Orleans to go from church to church on Good Friday. And I immediately thought of my friend, the Catholic Foodie.
Oh, yeah, because you're thinking of somebody who needs exercise.
No, not my marathon running friend, Catholic Foodie. No, you shared with us once before this tradition of making pretzels and bringing a little bag along when you go on that trek on Good Friday. So I thought we'd talk about Good Friday pretzels.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, first of all, I got to say that Peter Finney man, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Love him.
So I'm glad y'all had a chance to talk with him. He's fantastic. We have a tradition, and this is, for us as a family, it's been a tradition since our older kids who are 23, 22, and 21. Thank you very much. since they were little bitty, you know, we've been doing the Pilgrimage of the Nine Churches, and you know the tradition of that in New Orleans is a little hazy. We don't really know all the details. Matter of fact, you know, we have so many churches in New Orleans, not all the same churches fit for like the same people, right? Some people, mm-hmm. It's like not all the churches are open on Good Friday, and there are tons and tons and tons of people taking this walk, but they're not all going to the same nine churches, what I'm trying to say.
It could be
various churches that
you
they're
can pick
to.
Nine.
And you can pick nine, okay. Right. And so there's even questions as to, you know, why stop at nine? You know, I mean, I guess novena, we think of the novena as part of that. But we make that trek over every year, and sometimes it's with different, you know, friends, or we've done it with different groups in the past. But it's been a big deal for us. And so we'll go in the morning, and you go through all these beautiful churches, and you spend time praying in each church, and you know, some of them, priests are available for confession. You know, we'll maybe say a deck of the rosary, or we'll do one of the Stations of the Cross together, something like that. And we're just walking from place to place, and as we walk, we're praying. Mm-hmm. So we'll pray the rosary, we'll pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we'll, you know, whatever it may be. And at a certain point, and a lot of times we like certain areas we'll stop for this because it's conducive. Mm-hmm. And maybe a big yard or courtyard, or you know, even out closer to the one of the parks downtown, where we could sit down on the grass if it's not wet, and enjoy a little Lenten lunch, which for us a lot of times is those pretzels. We'll make those pretzels at home, very easy to do, and carry them in a bag with us and spread the wealth once we're there.
That's great. I love it. Okay, so now, Jeff, I didn't realize until I was reading the Catholic Foodie blog that pretzels were actually invented as a snack for Lent by a monk, I think.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's so...
Yeah,
that,
and it's...
I think that's so good.
Interesting because you have a lot of symbolism, right?
Yes, yes. So they fasted so strictly that they only made bread with water, flour, and salt, right? So no yeast, no other whatever things you might add, and that a monk formed the bread of the water, flour, and salt into like the little arms of little children. So, you know, when we see children go up for communion for a blessing and their hands are crossed across their chest, that is how the monk created that for children to be interested. I think that's a great, I did not ever realize that. Maybe you've told me that and I let it go, but that's a wonderful, wonderful remembrance of Lent, that simplicity of that snack, and then the symbolism of that prayer and penance in this kind of meager little snack. So tell us, you just make a big old bag of them and you snack when you take a break?
We do. You know, it's, I mean, the you just mentioned the whole thing about the crossing of the arms, and that's, you know, we associate that today. We see people who go up for communion if they're not going to receive for whatever reason, whether it's small children or older folks, and they cross their arms and they receive a blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, but that gesture of crossing your arms over your heart is an I don't want to say ancient in terms of like the early church, but in church history, is an old or ancient form of gesture of prayer, right?
Okay.
It's that heart-to-heart conversation with God, with Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's something about that. I mean, even today, if you're talking with folks and something really moves you, what do we typically do, right?
Yeah,
we kind of almost, exactly. Almost as a reaction, we place our hands on our heart. It's something really moves you that way. It hits you right there. And so that's what it is, and it's such a wonderful thing, I think, for small children, you know, to have them be part of the process of making the pretzels and talking about the symbolism of that and helping them to grow in prayer, right? Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of ways, little children naturally are attuned more maybe to God and to
Absolutely,
prayer
yes.
Than we are as adults, but mm-hmm. it's good to kind of help them to form that habit of turning to God in prayer. But yeah, the pretzels themselves are very easy. I mean, like you said, it's not a complicated recipe. I do add yeast. Okay. You could do it if you have a starter. If you have a sourdough mm-hmm. starter, you could do that instead of the yeast. But in our busy lives today, a lot of times you need that yeast to give it what it needs,
yes.
right, in a timely fashion. But it's simple. It's 1.5 cups of lukewarm or warm water. A tablespoon of honey, some yeast. I use about 2 1/4 teaspoons. 2 cups of we divide it up, right? It's a total of 4 cups of flour.
Okay.
I like to use half all-purpose and then half white whole wheat flour, but you don't have to.
Okay.
You could use all all-purpose if you wanted to.
Okay.
Kosher salt, and then coarse salt for the top, right? You want to coat mm-hmm. that on the top, and then 1 egg beaten, and so you're just gonna add your honey and water, dissolve that, add your yeast, just stir it to dissolve, add the salt, stir that to dissolve, and then kind of spoon in and stir in your flour. And then once it's all mixed and pulling from the bowl, you knead that for a couple of minutes till it's smooth. And then after that, you're going to divide the dough up to about a size that would fit in the palm of your hand.
Okay.
Then you're going to roll that out into ropes, and then you shape them like a pretzel, put them on a baking sheet, kind of put a little of we kind of coat the tops with the beaten egg and then sprinkle that salt on top. And then you're going to bake them at 425, I think, for 12 to 15 minutes until they're golden brown on top. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You can let them cool. We like to put them in a brown paper bag mm-hmm. instead of a plastic bag, because you don't want, you know, if they're still a little warm and you stick them in the mm-hmm. plastic, what happens? They're going to get real soggy.
Yes.
We like to keep that kind of fresh little crust on top.
That sounds great. That sounds great. I think I'm going to make those this year. We used to do that with our children when they were young. We'd make they did it in preschool. And so we kind of kept that recipe and kept that tradition going. But we haven't done it in years. And I think you don't have to have just little children to be reminded of prayer. So maybe when my kids are home for Holy Week, we may make some pretzels. I'll have to let you know how those go, Jeff. Let our listeners know, Jeff, where they can find out more about you and where they can find this recipe for a Good Friday pretzels.
It's CatholicFoodie.com is the digital hub, and you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, CatholicFoodie.com, and the recipe is there. Just Google it. You know, that's a verb now, to Google.
There you go, to Google.
Or Catholic Foodie pretzels, and they'll pop up.
There you go. Okay, Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie, always a pleasure to visit with you, Jeff. Thanks so much. Wishing you and your family a blessed Holy Week and a very happy Easter.
Back at you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, stick around. Terry Dixon is going to join us to talk about what's in the Gulfbine Catholic newspaper.
Here's a CC Media Did You Know.
Do you have trouble tuning in our station at night or when you're away from town? Listen to us 24/7 on your smartphone or computer. Always clear, always on at ccmedia.live.
12 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back to Wake Up, and thanks for tuning in, and also thanks for watching on Catholic Life Television in Baton Rouge. So glad you could join us. With us now, Terry Dixon, Director of Communications of the Diocese of Biloxi. He's also editor of the Gulfbine Catholic newspaper, and that's really why he's here, is to share with us some of the nice tidbits and stories that are featured in this week's issue. And Terry, how's it going, T-Boy?
Going well. How are you?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. I passed through your great state yesterday. still looking good as ever.
You should have honked the horn.
I actually did when I got to, what is it, Goche? I call it Goche. Y'all may call it Goche.
Goche, Goatier.
Pascagoula, Bay St. Louis, Biloxi, all those fine cities along the Gulf Coast. I keep wanting to divert and head to the beach, but I had a mission, so I stayed on the interstate. Terry, a lot of things in this issue. In particular, new school superintendent for Catholic schools in the Diocese of Biloxi.
Yeah, we're very excited about Jennifer Broadus being named the new superintendent of Catholic schools. Jennifer is currently the principal of St. James Parish School in Gulfport and will serve in that capacity to the end of the school year. And then we just announced the other day the selection of a new leadership team at St. James. Tricia Harvey and Dr. Pam Pinnell will be the new principal and vice principal respectively. So a lot of good things happening in our Catholic schools.
You bet. And I also see where I love the fact that there's the what you call the 100-fold workshop for parish vocation ministries, and that's coming up in April. But you got to kind of get the word out, because all are invited who are really want to get involved with certain vocations within their church parishes, right?
Very much so, and that workshop will be taking place Saturday, April 22nd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at St. Joseph Church in Gulfport, and Rhonda Grunewald will be facilitating that workshop. So we're encouraging people to come and take part of that and then learn ideas where they can go back to their parishes, develop vocation committees, and encourage men and women to consider a vocation to the priesthood or religious life.
Yes, and even if it's not in that fashion, you could definitely, as a layperson, bring some good things and learn good things about how you can contribute in your church parish as well. So,
sure.
Give that date couples, again. I think singles, that's yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's Saturday, April 22nd, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at St. Joseph Church in Gulfport. And St. Joseph is located at 12290 Depew Road.
Now, there was a feature story on Kathy Mangan, St. Alphonsus Choir Director, who died in a car accident, sorry to say. But, boy, what a nice feature article. Share with us a little bit about Kathy and her contribution to the diocese and her work.
Kathy was just so loved by so many people. She was a mainstay at St. Alphonsus Church and School. She led the choir. She taught music. She participated in diocesan events. She also had a great career outside in the theater, but she was such a big part of St. Alphonsus. As the pastor, Father Mike Snyder, said at her funeral, Kathy prepared herself all of her life to meet Jesus, and she praised Jesus through her song and through leading others in song and just music.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, she was very talented. Could play the guitar, piano, and organ. I mean, and again, was a great choir director, and sorry to see her passing, but now she's looking down on us. So
she is. She's leading the heavenly choir.
Amen. As we head into Easter. Now, the a big story that actually has some ties to Baton Rouge, the Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady Health System, from all indications, seems to be the likely choice that will be purchasing the Singing River Hospital System. Is that in the Biloxi or Southern Mississippi area?
So Singing River Hospital System has three hospitals, one in Pascagoula, one in Ocean Springs, and one in Gulfport. But they also have clinics all along the coast. I was very surprised and pleasantly surprised when I heard this news earlier in the week. And I'm looking forward to seeing that sale go through and to see the good things that the Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady of Health can do for our local hospital system. It's already a great hospital system. I think that this purchase is going to make it even better. And they also own St. Dominic and Jackson. There's a whole list of hospitals that they own,
yes,
including
yes.
Our Lady of the Lake Regional Medical Center in Baton Rouge.
That's
and the Children's
right.
Hospital in Baton
That's
Rouge.
Right. And elsewhere in Louisiana as well. So, yeah, I think it'll be a great addition, and welcome to the fold, as they would say.
Absolutely.
Youth conference, big wrap-up 2 weeks ago. Boy, y'all had a big event. Just share with us, kind of do a quick recap of the youth conference.
So the youth conference is a three-day event that takes place at the Gulf Coast Coliseum and Convention Center on Highway 90 in beautiful Biloxi, and the kids are really on fire for Jesus. They come for prayer, mass, skits, talks. Mike Batan, who you probably know, was the keynote speaker this year. And they had a great time. And there are awards given out for young people who, you know, are just so much a part of their parish and their parish life. And there are also awards given out to the adults who accompany these young people through the youth ministry programs in their respective parishes. So that's a big highlight of the three-day event is the presentation of the awards by Bishop Kinnaman. And also the roll call, where a lot of times, you know, it gets silly. Bishop Kinnaman will dress up in different outfits. You can go on our YouTube page and see that.
Yes, and look, in the final minute, I always like for you to touch on some key events that are coming up, especially with Holy Week coming up next week.
Okay, I want to focus on that. Of course, it's Holy Week coming up. We have the Chrism Mass will be on Tuesday, April 4th at 10:30. It can be seen on our YouTube channel. So can all the Holy Week Masses and services at the Cathedral. Holy Thursday, 6 p.m. Good Friday, Stations of the Cross, noon. Veneration of the Cross at 3. Holy Saturday, 8 p.m. Easter Sunday, 7, 9, 11, and 5:30 p.m. And the Easter Sunday 11 o'clock Mass will be the one that will be live streamed. And the rest of the services and Masses will be live streamed.
And they can find all that information on what page in the Gulf Pine?
www.biloxidiocese.org.
One more time.
www.biloxidiocese.org.
Very good. And there's also some other Easter information in the publication. T-Boy, thank you for being with us. Terry Dixon, good to have you, and have a great Easter, because I'm not sure I'll be chatting with you next week.
Always a pleasure. Have a happy Holy Week and a blessed Easter.
God bless you. All right, folks. Well, today and the week is over.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow. And I hear some screaming in the production area.
We got a woohoo from Karen.
We're gonna wrap up as we always do with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, you are life and truth and goodness. You are also peace and mercy. How grateful we are to have this moment to turn to you. Without you, we can do nothing good. In fact, when we do good, it is you working through us despite our failings. Dear Lord, here we are, ready to love you more and to help us put our actions and our faith into action. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are so happy you're tuning your heart to the truth. We have a wonderful, blessed weekend.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.